Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey, everybody, joining us in the studio. This is Loveline, of course, is one of my very, very dearest friends and favorite guests on this show, Danny Bonaducci.
Well, thank you, Dr. Drew. Always a pleasure.
Oh, man, it's just, I can just sit back and cruise. You can just go, 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 baby.
I heard you on the call. You were very kind to me. Thank you.
Very nice. Well, I appreciate you coming in here again. And what's going on? You just said you finished a big photo shoot?
I did a photo shoot for Details Magazine. I literally came straight from here. And I went, you know, I put on a shirt for you. I walked in with all my wardrobe wearing this wife beater with the... Skull Cosmo.
Nice, nice.
And they just looked at me and they went, perfect. So that's what I'll be wearing at Details Magazine. And I had all these, like, real clothes with me, and I went to take off all this fake silver jewelry that I wear, my pirate wear, as I like to call it. And they said, oh, no, leave that on.
That is pirate wear. Now, what is with that?
I like it.
So you make these a skull and that?
No, this is my skull, and I have a bunch
really
more, but I chickened out.
It looks like you raided the, sort of the treasure room Pirates of the Caribbean. I started putting stuff on your...
Close enough. I go into Hot Topic with $50. And it's all fake.
Awesome.
Like, I have this one. It's a huge skull. And then next to it on my little finger is crossbones, right? And it's connected by chain.
Yes.
It was $6. That's what I wear. They asked me today at Details.
I think my son's like that kind of stuff. They're 13.
Yeah, exactly. So am I. They asked in Details. They said, and who's your fashion by? I looked at him and laughed and went, Hot Topic? Are you kidding? Everything I have was $12.
So everybody knows Danny Bonaducci from Breaking Bonaducci, of course, and the Partridge Family many, many years ago. And you heard Nicole and I. Nicole is the disc jockey that runs ahead of our
Nicole
show. And you've known Nicole, somebody around the country, hear her on this show, too. We were talking on the air before the show about Danny, and she asked the question, I know you get it every a billion times, did the Breaking Down at Bonaducci... My mouth isn't working tonight, so
that's
I apologize.
Cool.
The Breaking Bonaducci show was about Danny, obviously, with his treatment and addiction. Mm-hmm. She goes, was that because he was a child actor that he went to drive? I was like, no.
I was so pleased that you matter-of-factly said no.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
Yeah.
You can't let me and Todd Bridges bring down an entire industry.
Right.
You know, I don't know that there has ever been a movie made, although I recently saw Rent, so maybe one, without children.
Right.
Me and Eddie Munster and Todd Bridges cannot condemn an entire industry because we screwed up just like your neighbor kid did.
Right.
So that, it doesn't, like, offend me in a big way, but I am, everything I have is from this business.
Yeah.
It's been very, very kind to me and very forgiving.
So you still see it as a total, complete positive in your life. And,
absolutely.
And yet the you know, why I look at addiction sometimes is that people go to addiction because they need to regulate, they need to feel better.
Right.
And usually most of that stuff comes from family of origin stuff. So is that...
That's a distinct possibility. I was raised in a very violent home.
Yeah.
So the
career you were in and sort of the... I mean, you have to be an adult early and you're around, you're exposed to certain things. And those add to the risk. But the reality is it's not causational.
No.
It doesn't precipitate.
And
it.
I really like having a doctor's opinion on that.
Yeah,
because,
I'm that way.
Because I would go... Although, I must say, if what I have is a comeback, my new TV show, and the other half, the talk show with Dick Clark, Mario Lopez, and other talk shows I've had, and radio as well, in a way, although I was already on it, we would do the ex-child star gone wrong talk show circuit. With me, Todd Bridges, Eddie Munster, Dana Plato. It was like this horrible Love Boat reunion show. And they would all blame TV and tell sad, slow, boring stories about how TV ruined their lives. And I would tell just the opposite. Wow, I'd tell a war story about taking my drugs and my fair share, but I'd get a laugh every time. And when the dust finally settled, I got my own show out of it.
Nice.
Everybody said, look, that guy recovered. That guy's funny. That guy's ready to go. And I got my own gig.
And so the season two coming up?
Season two coming up.
How's that shaping up?
okay.
Uh-oh.
It's less...
Less intense.
I think it's less damaging after a certain amount of episodes than the first one.
Okay.
Because I spin... I don't know what it is, Doc. I think... I came up with a quote today, if you will.
Yeah.
Because I thought Details Magazine was going to ask me some questions, and they didn't, so I'll tell you what my theory is.
Okay.
At least for me, I don't think reality TV, when it's real, like my show was, is in fact reality. You're not yourself.
It's reality
you're
TV.
You're who you always wanted to be. I always wanted to be. I've been funny a long time. And everybody knows, oh, damn, my DJ's really funny. I've always wanted to be a real bad man.
Which is really interesting, though. But it was you.
Yeah, it's me.
But it was you in front of a camera.
Do you know the little tiny secrets you keep in the back of your head that are not for public consumption?
Right.
Those were who was on the show. The little tiny things I have in the back of my head.
You could argue that that's even more you.
You could argue that.
That it's more honest.
You could argue that.
I did a thing for ABC News where I followed some people through recovery. It was before the days. It was about 3 or 4 years ago, and I had great concern about it because I thought, oh, my God, you know, we're just taking the first 5 people into a residential program that want to do this, and these cameras are going to be on. What is that going to do to their recovery? It's going to destabilize, and they're going to see it later and be ashamed. And the exact opposite occurred. Having the camera on them made them get their S together. Now, when they spun, a couple of them relapsed, their heroin addicts, when ended up, you know, running down the streets in Hollywood.
Right.
And when they spun big.
Right.
Just completely spun out, but then always came back and got sober. I couldn't believe it. So something about the camera, there's an effect of the camera.
I'll tell you, this will tell you something probably so needy about me. And that is that the long-term effects of the show were I accidentally helped people. Now, my wife wanted to help people from the get-go.
Right, right.
I didn't.
Right.
But I did a television show that was popular, and people got some help out of it that I didn't necessarily try to give anyone.
They learned something about addiction, yeah.
But I didn't want to help anybody. You know, I'm, as you have pointed out, I look good and everything, and you can imagine that I'm sober now and off anything at all that wasn't prescribed by my doctor. And the reason I felt compelled, really, to do this is really sad, was I don't care.
To do Bonaducci show?
No, no.
To do what?
To get sober.
To get sober. Yeah.
I don't care about my fellow man all that much.
I know that about you.
I don't care about, usually, under most circumstances, the children of God. But you know who I worship above all else?
Your wife.
The audience.
The audience.
That's who I've been raised to please. And people kept congratulating me and telling me I'd help them and telling me I'd help their brother and their sister and their mother.
And that kept reinforcing.
And now it's like, well, these are the guys that have paid my rent. Somebody that chooses my show or my radio show over somebody else's is my direct employer, as far as I'm concerned. And they wanted me sober.
Nice.
And I'll do anything for them.
Nice.
Isn't that weird, though?
It is interesting. It's coming into more and more focus for you as time goes on. You obviously have been thinking about this.
Yeah, I have. I've been, because I wonder every day why I make it. You know, it just seems so much easier now. And tomorrow I'm going to Vegas.
Oh.
Yeah, for a charity dinner. For, you know, the Lily Claire Foundation?
Yes.
Yeah. They always invite me. They're lovely people. I'm going to Vegas for their dinner. But you know what's funny? I have never relapsed under stress, under duress.
You do when you have fun.
I've never gone to Vegas and gone, oh, it's Vegas, let's drink. I've never been in a bar doing an appearance or whatever and said, oh, I should just have a drink. It never hits me. It's too obvious for me.
I see.
What happens to me is I'm driving down
too
the
cliche.
Street and you see that giant sign that says liquor and you pull in, especially if it has parking in the back because everybody knows I'm supposed to be sober. And I buy an airplane bottle size of Absolute and a Snap of lemonade.
Yeah, yeah.
And I drink in alleys.
Nice.
Nice celebrity life. Nice. I drink in alleys. But I never fall apart in bars of Vegas or anything like
Hardcore.
That.
Hardcore.
Yeah. I mean business, dude.
Badass. Badass Danny Bonaducci here tonight. We're going to take some calls. This is Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's going on, Dr. Drew?
Hey, Derek.
You're on with Danny Bonaducci. Danny?
What's up, buddy?
What's going on, Danny?
What can we do for you, Derek?
Oh, man, my question is, man, like, basically with my girl, man, you know, we engage in intercourse and whatnot, and it seems like not just her, but a lot of women out here now, well, a lot of women I've ran across.
Out here now. Yeah.
Well, yeah, a lot of women I ran across are just like men, you know, we enjoy oral sex, so it's like when I give it or it seems like they don't want it all the time. I was just wondering, Dr. Drew, is that more of me? Or is that just a female thing? Because I know, like, I used to think, I'm 22, sir, and I used to think that all women love sex, and that's just not the case.
That is just not the case, my man.
That's just not the case, man.
They don't, like, they, you know, I let me put a little finer point on that. They do love sex, but they love it a lot different than the way a man loves it. It's a lot different experience for them.
But if we love sex like a really fast motorcycle or a Ferrari or just something so, like, Pimp My Ride. Then you got yourself some sex. Girls don't like sex like that. Girls, the cuddling after sex is as important as the sex itself.
Right. It's why women can have intercourse, not have an orgasm, and go, that was fine.
Right.
And for a man, that is, what?
Why would you do that?
That's bewildering. And what's even more confusing to men is because of the tremendous genetic diversity amongst women. They have these two huge X chromosomes that make them female. not every woman can do that.
Right.
Some of them get very frustrated if they don't have an orgasm with intercourse. So it's a spectrum in women. So there you go. So Derek,
by the way, just
you're
so
growing
you know,
up, buddy. It's
yeah,
right.
Just so you know, Derek, I have been with more than my fair share of women in my 46 years, having been some kind of being a celebrity my entire life, and I have made one girl that I know for sure climax from actual sex. And the other ones that I didn't fail at all climax from oral sex.
Okay, so that's a really interesting testimonial because the data suggests that 50 to 60% of women do not have orgasm with intercourse. They just don't. And there are this...
I know that 50%.
You've done a field test. And you know, and it's not just about you. It's about the subject matter.
Right.
And a small percentage will have multiple orgasms and will have them very easily. You have run across one of those.
I've run across
or maybe
one
that
of
was the one. That was the one.
A couple, maybe.
All right, it's very...
But one, I mean, that's what she did. Other girls, it's a lot of work sometimes.
To what? To orgasm
to make a girl finish.
Like, with intercourse. And by the way...
With anything. If a girl... See, I believe that all women are going to tell their friends how you were.
Oh.
So you better be great. Because you're going to be the conversation tomorrow at lunch when they're all sitting around with their Prada bags.
So it's all like the Sex and the City.
They're all going to talk about your wiener.
Nice.
Okay? And you better make that girl's head explode in one way or the other. Because if they're going to say... Like, I'm not super well endowed, and that might come up. But if I made her finish,
yes,
and she says, boy, it was great,
yeah.
I can live with that
it
description.
It doesn't matter, right.
It that's doesn't all, matter, it as long as she finished.
Excellent. This is Jack. What's up, Jack?
Hi, Dr. Drew. Hi, Danny.
Hey,
Dr. Drew, are you still going to try to do Listener Love Line, or just
you know, I've been thinking a lot about that lately, Jack. I promised that at the beginning. I was told to keep my mouth shut about it for a while because there was some legal problem or some problem.
Well.
But no, listen, it's on my mind, and I would like to figure out a way to do that. So, yes, it's on my mind.
All right, well, I won't bring it up anymore.
Thank you.
Danny, I was wondering, how did you first meet Chuck Norris? I read somewhere that he trained you in karate.
Chuck Norris was my very first, in a way, very first karate instructor. It was really, he had done Return of the Dragon, and I was the guy from the Partridge Family, and it was a pictorial. They just wanted pictures of me and Chuck Norris together, so they dressed me up in a uniform and a white belt, and I put
then?
My leg out. Yeah, I was 10. I was just starting the Partridge Family. And they took this picture, and it was in Tiger Beat or whatever magazine. And he just gave me a lifetime pass to his Sherman Oaks school, which was kind of legendary at the time.
Wow.
And I stayed there for the next 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he ever know, like, about your history with alcoholism and all that?
You know what? First of all, I saw Chuck maybe three more times. He didn't teach in a lot of his schools. He was a very busy man.
Yeah.
But while I stayed in martial arts, I don't believe... If I was an alcoholic, I wasn't an... Obviously, I was
not
an alcoholic,
10.
But I wasn't a drinking one.
At 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. This is a Chloe.
Hi, Danny. I saw that there's like a photo of like, it looked like you and Gretchen were having like another wedding ceremony, and there was like cameras everywhere.
This is in season two of your...
No. It could be Oprah Winfrey. It could be my old talk show.
What are you talking about, Chloe? A picture you saw?
Yeah, I was like, there was like a picture. There was like, it looked like you and Gretchen, and there was like a choir. Like,
oh, I do know what you're talking about. It is from season two, and I can't tell you.
Oh.
I think it's actually the finale.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who's got the... Is it a picture in a magazine, or is it just a picture your friend has?
No, it's just a picture your friend has.
Oh.
Okay. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah. <All right. laughs> Thank you very much, though, Chloe.
All right. This now is Ethan.
Hey, Ethan.
Hi. Danny, I was wondering about the Partridge Family in outer space and what that was like.
What was
it? It was stupid. It was only Dave Madden and the two little kids and I did the voices. Everybody else was, I think Lori and Shirley and Keith were above doing cartoons.
Oh, it was a cartoon, I see.
But I don't know why they did it. Why would you put the Partridge Family in space?
It must have been a 70s thing.
It was actually called Partridge Family 2200. That's what it was called. I don't know why. I don't know who wanted it. But it ran a couple years. And here's the funny thing, though. It paid me more than the Partridge Family.
Oh, that's interesting.
I only made about, at that point, I made about $500 a week on the Partridge Family. And I made $650 for the cartoons.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, in the 70s, they had horrible ideas about cartoons.
Yes.
Just one right after the other. So just another one of those bad ideas.
Yep. So. And I have kids, so I watch a lot of the cartoons that I thought were stupid before, but I'm telling you, Hong Kong Phooey makes me laugh.
I mean, Grape Ape.
Grape.
I mean,
exactly.
Come on. All right, so that's it, Ethan?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
By the way, a quick thing for Chloe that called.
Yeah.
I have been married to my wife at least 5 times.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. The first one on the first night we met. When we woke up in the morning, we went, hey, is this legal? Is this a binding marriage? We got a certificate. Then we ran over to the courthouse, which saved me a lot of time in my future. It was right across the street from my house. Got married again. Then May, I think, 10th, her mom and dad, realizing we were going to stay together, paid for a wedding. And then we realized, hey, this is a fun thing to do. So we've been married in Hawaii, in the Caribbean. We just get married a lot.
That's very funny.
So you could have seen a picture of anything.
Charlotte.
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
I have a drug question, and it's going to sound stupid, but the thing is, I use cocaine every now and then, but it's really only like twice a month. It's the only drug I've ever done. And if I only do it twice a month, then is that like a big deal? Is that going to ruin my life or anything if I really stick to that?
Are you smoking it or doing intranasally?
No, I snort it.
What do you think? I can answer.
What do you think?
It's not a valid question.
What kind
you know
of
why
it
it's
is?
Not a valid question?
Yeah.
Because she won't keep doing it twice a month.
Well, right. I think
well,
that is a good point.
I'm pretty good about that, though.
Well, I think Danny's point is well taken. You're either going to stop or you're going to escalate. That is a matter of fact. And if you stop, it's going to be because it doesn't have that much of an appeal for you because you're not biologically an addict. And if you are genetically an addict, it will continue to escalate drive. It just does.
How long have you been doing this?
Not very long, maybe 3 months or so. I was dating a guy who did it a lot, so it just kind of turned me on to it, but...
I mean, there is such a thing... Listen, Charlotte, there is such a thing as cocaine abuse. There is such a thing. People can use cocaine and not get addicted. It's not very common. It's not very common. It's weird.
It is weird. I have a buddy, I'll use his first name, Scott. When we were, like, in high school and right after high school, me and my buddy Scott and my other buddy Dave would sit around and Scott would whip out like an ounce of blow. Like an ounce. That's a bunch of blow. And that day it was like $2,000 worth. And he'd put out a line for everybody and we'd all sniff it and he'd go, what do you guys want to do now? As if there was an alternative to the rest of your cocaine is what we want to do now. Uh-oh. And we'd go to the movies and we'd come back, we'd all do another line and he'd go, all right, see you tomorrow. And he'd go to his room and go to bed.
Yeah, yeah.
He could do two lines out of a $2,000. And Dave and I would sit outside his room and go, how can we fake a break-in, steal his blow, and have him not know it was us?
Because
we're
did
real
it.
Addicts.
You bet you did it, didn't you? You bet you got it.
I did.
Had to be. Yeah, and that is a great description, Charlotte. So, you know, it's hard to say what's going on. I will tell you that even abusing cocaine is not without its risk. People can have heart attacks, they can have strokes, and so it's not, you know,
well,
taking a Tylenol.
Can I ask, like, a theoretical question then? Like, let's say if I really only did do it twice a month and, like, it really never escalated, would that do anything? Even if that's not possible.
Like yes, I would it do anything? I can't say. I can tell you what it could do, and it has a reasonable likelihood. If you're talking about indefinite cocaine use, it could precipitate a heart attack.
For now, I just assumed it was a phase.
You haven't deemed an amount either.
How much do you do each time?
Dr. Drew is going on that you could do enough in one sitting to give yourself a heart attack, which is full-blown possible.
You don't have to do much to get a heart attack or a stroke, and you can precipitate depression and bipolar manias. That all can be induced from cocaine. So it's not without its risk, Charlotte. It's not just, enjoy yourself.
You know, sometimes I wonder, because you're really good at going, I don't know, something sounds funny about this call. But when you call up a doctor who specializes in drug abuse and ask, can I do a little cocaine?
It's kind of simple. I can sort it out for you real quick. Charlotte.
Yes?
Is there alcoholism in your family?
Yeah.
Who is it?
My dad, but the thing is, I don't drink.
I know, whatever. It's not about drinking. Danny's losing it here. It's a gene you get from him, and so a genetic sort of predilection you get from him.
I don't crave it or anything like
what
that.
Has nothing to do with alcohol. Has nothing to do with alcohol. So, and what is your ethnic background? Where's your dad? Where are his ancestors from?
Germany.
Okay. And have you ever had, you ever smoke pot regularly, any other drugs or alcohol?
No, I've never done anything else.
Okay. And any trauma history or anything that's difficult in your life growing up, other than the alcoholic dad?
No.
Depressions, eating disorder, anything like that?
No. I mean, I'm stressed out from graduating college. Does that count?
Right. A little bit. But you are in harm's way with the cocaine. Exactly. You're in harm's way.
Do the one where you pull the rabbit out of the hat now. Just how do you do that?
I like the way you react to strongly when I play the Karnak role. James, what's up?
Hey, Dr. Drew, I love your show.
Thank you, buddy.
Mr. Bonaducci, one of the big networks came out with the Partridge Family movie about 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
How accurate was that movie?
It wasn't as accurate as when I wrote it.
Oh, you run it?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious as to whether or not you've got a good relationship with your dad now, if you reconciled. It kind of showed you as the breadwinner since you got into, like, the partnership.
That was actually not accurate, to be honest with you.
Okay.
They also showed him, and I went into the studio because I had almost nothing to do with the movie. I cashed my check, and this is how I work in show business.
You wrote it.
Once I wrote the original draft. Yeah. It wasn't what they made it into. But once I cash the check, you have purchased whatever it is I gave you.
It's yours. Yeah, yeah.
You know, do with it what you will. The only thing I told them, they had a scene where my dad is freaking out and beating the bejesus out of me. My mom's screaming, Joe, you're going to kill him this time. All real, all fine with me. He had a glass with what looked like whiskey in it.
He didn't drink
whiskey.
And
I said, you have to take that out right now.
Yeah.
And they said, why? And I said, he didn't drink. And they said, he acted like that and he wasn't drunk? And I said, no. And if you ask him if he beat his children, his answer will be, obviously not hard enough.
Wow.
He's not ashamed of anything he did, but if you make him a drunk, he'll kill you.
Wow. So this is what his dad was, a drunk.
I don't know. Didn't know him that well.
That's rageaholism, really.
Oh, my God, I was such a rager.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man. All right, 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number here on Loveline. Danny Bonaducci in the studio with us tonight. Breaking Bonaducci, when does it premiere?
I think we just read October. I thought it was sooner than that, but October.
So there'll be a premiere in October. Look out for Breaking Bonaducci 2. Anything else going on right now? Details Magazine?
Details Magazine I just shot.
Radio?
Yes.
Something's coming?
Yeah.
Can you talk about it?
Well, can I tell you, now that I've got something else as long as I choose to do it, do you know I was really lobbying for this job?
I know.
I really was.
Oh, listen, there was people over here pulling for you, too.
Thank you very much. But, yeah,
I've got... Listen, you should have no problem.
But I've got so many TV shows that Gretchen and I wrote that actually are kind of a go,
of
which are full-blown go, that I'm not dying to get back up at 4 o'clock in the morning because we need a physical presence on the set to be real live executive producers, not fake celebrity executive producers.
Understood.
So, we'll see.
All right, we'll take a little break.
When I run out of money, you'll hear my voice.
We'll be right back. It's Loveline. Danny Bonaducci in here tonight. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. And when Danny's in, I get to go on vacation.
You're very kind.
Take over. Here's Kim in here for us tonight. What's up, Kim?
Hi, I have a question. After I have sex with my girlfriend, I get really bad headaches.
Yeah.
Tell her to shut up.
After you have orgasm?
Yes.
The post-orgasm headaches are actually kind of common. They are usually benign. They usually don't amount to anything. But a doctor does need to evaluate you because sometimes they're migraines and sometimes they're bleeding. Sometimes intracranial bleed, that kind of thing, or aneurysms. Very rare, but it's something that you need to sort of take precautions just to be sure. Is it something you've always had or something new?
It's pretty new.
Anything new happening? Anything unusual about what you guys are doing?
No.
All right. Just get it checked out.
I just get headaches after.
Ideally, see a neurologist.
When you successfully complete sex, do you get headaches or any time you even fool around? The question is, after you orgasm or not?
Only orgasm.
After I orgasm.
Yeah. How about if you're masturbating?
I don't really do that a lot.
Again, another difference between men and women.
Yep.
Well, there we go.
I had to let go of it just to do this show.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate
no
it. Creating a couple hours for us.
But what a torture. What a terrible thing. You get to have an orgasm, but you're going to get a terrible headache. That just seems like God's cheating you.
Oh, if you told, unfortunately, I think if you told a man, his brains would actually explode. He'd go, gotta go. Gotta do it.
If you said to me, you get to sleep with that completely average woman, but right afterwards we're going to pull all your teeth, I'd say go.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
Amy.
Yes.
What's happening? You're on with Danny Bonaducci.
Oh, hang on for a second.
Oh.
Sorry.
What was that?
I'm sorry. I'm just babysitting right now.
Oh.
Anyway,
I like when you scream at the kids, by the way, Amy.
I'm sorry. It irritates me. I'm going through a bad situation right now in school.
How old are the kids?
She's only 4.
Amy?
What? What? She's 4. Anyway, I have a question for all you guys. You guys are adults and have kids, right?
Yes, and I'm very disturbed by your behavior, frankly.
I'm sorry. I'm just kind of frustrated right now. Anyway.
Do you get to be frustrated when you're the babysitter?
That's the point, Amy. It doesn't matter what you are. You're the big person. You're responsible for the little person. You relinquished that.
Okay, she's been making crank phone calls all day, or prank calls all day.
All right. So go ahead.
Okay, yeah.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, I'm 17 years old. I'm a senior in high school, and last Friday, I found out, well, my teacher came out cold and told me, I love you.
And you're 17. How's the teacher?
I'm 17 years old, and he is 24.
Give me an example. Tell me precisely what the circumstances were, what he said. I mean, I wonder if it was just some sort of miscommunication.
No, we were talking on the phone. He called me. He was apparently drunk.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go.
Yeah.
No.
Dude, if every chick I called drunk and said I love you and called this radio station right now, I could have called a Buick if I'd had its phone number. Yeah, this might not mean anything, although a teacher certainly has overstepped his bounds.
That's the problem, is that exactly. This is a teacher. And so you need to report this, Amy. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, no, this is the whole thing. I don't know if I should report this. I mean,
yes.
We talked about this.
Who?
And,
Who's we? Who's we?
My teacher and I.
No.
We talked about it, and look.
Wait, you had a sober conversation with this guy?
I had a sober conversation. I mean, I called him the next day. I'm like, what the heck?
Why do you have his phone number?
You shouldn't be talking to this guy.
Because he was like my private tutor for my, my business class and everything. And we talked about it, and I told him, like, well, you're being serious. And he's like, to be honest, I am. I believe you're the girl in my life.
Amy. You need to tell your parents. You need to tell the school. This is bad. This is bad news. This is predatory behavior.
Okay, and well, I mean, this isn't the first time I've talked to somebody about this, but like, I told my friends and stuff, and they tell me, like, this is scary, but, you know, I mean, I have what?
This isn't the first time.
Dr. What? Drew is not your friend. The doctor stands for doctor. You're asking the right guy, and he's telling you need to report this.
I will.
But this is not the first time it's happened to you?
No, I mean, what do you mean? The teacher coming up to me and telling me? No, this isn't the first time somebody calls me or that tells me that they love me, you know, like my teacher especially.
What?
Yeah, I mean, he's like the second teacher that comes up to me and tells me, I love you. And I'm like, what the hell?
And what'd you do with the last one?
The last one, I just, like, ignored him. I dropped his class.
Good. That's good. But this.
Yeah. But I.
But you know, the problem is these are people in positions of extraordinary responsibility
and authority.
And they're miscarrying that. They're damaging people. They have the potential to damage people with it. Thankfully, it hasn't gone further with you. You can put a stop to it, and that's that.
It hasn't gone further, has it?
And hopefully, the gal gets sober and maybe gets a job back and stuff, and get some help. But as it is
when
now,
when she reports this, his job is gone, right?
No.
You know, I don't know how they would look at it as a teacher. I mean, I would hope that they would look at this therapeutically and go, you know, really monitor the guy carefully, get him some treatment, make sure he's in sobriety. I mean, you could really help somebody.
What if they don't believe her?
And hold the job over his head.
Right.
That my concern is they're not going to believe her. They're going to go, oh, you know, it's his word against her and all this kind of crap. But at least there's a report.
There's a red flag.
Yeah,
right.
They're watching him. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I didn't want her side of this. I'll just ask you.
Yeah.
If she's been told I love you by two teachers.
Yeah.
How much responsibility do you think she bears?
Well, it's always, in interpersonal relations, there's always something each contributes.
Right.
So she's putting something out.
Right.
However, if she doesn't matter.
She's a minor.
She's a minor. She's a child. Even though she's 17, looks 25, whatever, doesn't matter. That's what she is, and it's damaging to her to allow these people to act out on her. Now, you can sort of argue all day, what if 6 months from now they'll be legal and if these two met in a bar, it'll be okay. Yeah, different circumstances.
It didn't
boundary
matter.
Violation.
She's not 6 months older,
right.
And it wasn't in a bar.
And it's an alcoholic, violating all kinds of boundaries while loaded. Bad situation, bad thing. So this is Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi. Hello.
What can we do for you?
Well, I was just calling. I have a couple questions, actually. One is, when I have a boyfriend. I've been with him for a few years, and I have a really hard time having an orgasm, which I know a lot of women do, but my problem is in the past, when I've been with guys, like, as a booty call or like kind of random, then I can have an orgasm. But when I'm with like an intimate boyfriend or something, I can't. Or I can, but it's like extremely difficult and rare.
Even with oral sex?
Yeah.
You know what I believe it to be? It is almost an actual acted out fantasy. Where, as when she said booty call, I rarely, if ever, have heard a woman refer to herself as a booty call.
Mm-hmm.
They hardly ever know they're a booty call. It's a secret that you're a booty call.
Well,
now, we don't want to tell you.
I know
what it is? Here's what I think it is. I think you're getting off when you feel nasty.
Right.
When you feel like a bad girl, when it's a booty call, when it's random, when and you use the word intimate. When it's intimate, you don't dig it. You dig the stranger.
And let me use a different sort of words to describe this, because you're absolutely right. That's what's happening, is that when you're intimate, you're vulnerable. And when you're vulnerable and you show that dirty, bad part of yourself to somebody that might leave you, God forbid, if they saw that you're actually a sexual person, that's too scary. What this is something bad happened to you as a kid, sexually, sexual abuse, looking at porn, something. You were sexually abused?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For like many years.
So there it is. There's Karnak. And so as a result, you sort of fracture into a good self and a bad self, and your bad self is your sexual self because that was the one that participated in this horrible clandestine act. And now you can only have sex with bad guys where you experience yourself sexually. You can't bring yourself together as a whole person who is intimate and sexual. And that needs a lot of treatment, Brenda.
Okay, that's good to hear because, I mean, my boyfriend and I have talked about it. And, I mean, I've gone to counseling like this.
No, I'm talking about, you know, years of intensive, you know, regular meetings with a therapist.
Is it like a regular therapist or like a sex therapist?
No, a good, highly trained, regular, skilled therapist, okay?
Okay.
But like I want to see a 5-year relationship there and
oh,
see
really?
What yeah.
But and just so you
minimum,
know.
Minimum.
Just so you know, this is not extraordinary.
No,
I wouldn't have ever been able to pinpoint this had I not known a dozen of you. This is not, you don't need to feel like really weird and strange about this. I know a lot of girls like you.
Okay.
Right.
I feel bad because my boyfriend tries so hard and I want it to happen, but it just doesn't.
The
but
great irony is you care about him too much.
Yeah, and the other irony is she likes to feel bad, just not with him.
I don't like to, I don't think.
You like to feel like a bad girl.
One of the things that happens, Brenda, when we have a horrible experience in childhood that terrorizes us and makes us feel helpless, that converts to attraction in our young adult life. Why that happens, I have no idea. No one's ever described that biology. One day they will. But the things of terror become attraction. It's actually referred to in Dante's Inferno, interestingly. He sees the people, they're coming across the river in ferries into hell.
Right.
And he's sitting there with Virgil and he goes, well, they seem to come in so willingly. Like they're jumping off the boats. And he goes, oh, yeah, in hell, terror is converted to desire. I thought, whoa, there it is. That's what people do. They convert terror to desire, and that's where your desire sexually is still, so you're attracted to these bad guys so you can be sexual.
But so if I go to counseling and stuff, then it
that will
away.
Settle. This should settle down nicely, okay?
Okay. Awesome.
And remember, you're not completely unique. Don't think this is a you thing.
Not uncommon.
I was going to say I've been a girl like you, but I didn't mean that. But I've been you. The danger and the attitude of it becomes compelling.
You're right, it's attractive.
You know, that's what that's, you know, that's
arousing.
I used to say that what is better than sex with a 10? Sex with a 7 I haven't slept with yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it always boils down to for a lot of people, and I've just gotten that under control.
Aaron. That's actually good to be this part in sobriety and have
thank
that.
Thank you.
No, you have it. Aaron.
Yes.
What's happening, buddy? You're on with Danny Bonaducci.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, man.
How you doing, Danny? Yeah, you guys ready for this?
Yeah. I believe we are.
All right, man. Well, 3 days ago, I was in the shower, and, I'm not gay. I know this because I have a girlfriend, but, I was...
Turn your radio down. Radio off, please.
Turn the radio off. You won't be able to hear us.
I was in the shower, and okay, can you hear me?
If you got your radio off, we do.
Much better.
Okay. Well, I was pleasing myself anally with my plunger, and that was 3 days ago.
Hold on. Slow down. Woo-hoo-hoo. Slow down.
Do you know what my first question is? Wooden or plastic?
Plastic.
Okay.
Well, the plastic ones have those little, like, plastic tips with the little, like a key ring type thing.
Don't you know it? Oh, sorry.
So what did you do with that? You know what I'm talking about? Like, they can hang them on a hook on the wall?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you do with that?
No, it's just plastic with ridges at the top.
Ridges, but the plastic ones have little hooks on the top.
I don't know that they all do, Doc.
I mean, the wood ones don't.
This one doesn't.
All right. Okay. If you say so.
Yeah, that was...
Aaron's an anal plunger expert. So I'm just a dilettante.
Okay, go ahead, man.
That was 3 days ago, but the last 2 days I haven't been able to go to the restroom. And I was wondering if I did something. Because when it gets close to I need to go to the restroom, I can't. And
you should excuse me. Does it hurt when you try to go?
Yeah, it brought me to tears yesterday.
All right, you should excuse me that I don't understand what it means to pleasure oneself anally. I don't quite get what that means. I mean,
it means he inserted the handle of a plunger in his keister.
And did what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, did what?
Just put it in there and held it there?
Yeah. Well, just, I don't know. I just was experimenting, and I just put it in there a couple times.
You didn't
times.
Fall down on it or anything? Because believe me, I've seen those cases.
Have you really?
Yes, I have.
You hear about that stuff,
yes.
But you think it's urban
and,
legend.
No, and they always say, this is when I worked at county hospitals, and they always said I slipped and fell on it. Oh,
that's
okay.
What I'd say.
Okay, got it. You slipped and fell on a plunger.
That's
okay.
What I would say. No matter what, I would say I slipped and fell on it.
Same
matter.
Thing with the knife injuries. Always some guy with a buck knife. Every case,
hey,
some guy with a buck
knife. If I went into the emergency room with the guy from Brokeback Mountain in me, I'd say I slipped and fell on him.
Listen, everything found in people's keisters, that's what they tell you, slipped and fell.
Yeah, I don't know how I slipped and fell on the keys.
But one of the cases I saw was a guy that slipped and fell or whatever he did, and he actually perforated his colon with the damn thing.
Right.
And you worry also that you stir up some internal hemorrhoids and things that can obstruct there. Or, you know, there's a lot of stuff that
can
go wrong.
What's the other thing you can get from tearing your intestines?
I mean, you get peritonitis.
Peritonitis,
that's
the one.
You get sick. You know, you're really, really sick. You have any abdominal pain?
Well, yeah, it kind of went, like, deep into my stomach, but, like, not the actual plunger, but the pain went deep into my stomach to where it was, like, I just had so much pain, man. And
Aaron, you got to go to the emergency room. You may, it's probably hemorrhoids, but you may need disimpaction, and there are things they can do to soften it, these sort of oil retention enemas and things. So you got to go, because if you get, and plus, you may have ruptured something, and that can be quite serious.
Yeah, if you're in this kind of pain, you do need to go, and here's where I guess I can be some help if you want. I've been in so many emergency rooms in so many different shapes and forms and blood and guts and whatever, and I've never met a doctor who was thrown at all.
By anything, no.
By
no.
Anything.
They believe me, Aaron. I know you think you're the only anal plunger dude, but...
You're not.
And by the way, you don't have to even tell him about it. Just say, you know...
I've got pain here. He'll look.
Yeah, I've got pain. My girlfriend's... You know, put her finger in or something, or just whatever, your boyfriend, whatever. You know, the doctor will just want to fix things, he or she. All right, the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We got to take a little break here. Danny Bonaducci in here with us. Got a bunch of great calls, and we will be right back. Everybody, back on Loveline here. Danny Bonaducci, we were just talking about alcohol and how alcohol can kill you, too.
Well, I knew alcohol poisoning could kill you, but I didn't know about what you were telling
me. It's basically the way alcohol kills you is you stop breathing. That's one of the ways. You take enough that you actually have anesthesia. And a piece of that almost always is that some of the fluid in your mouth gets down into your lungs. Remember the lore about Janis Joplin, mm-hmm. or, she vomited and choked on her vomit.
Choked on her own vomit.
Really, that's just it's a strange image of what actually, and what happens is a little bit of stuff gets up in your throat, it goes down into your lungs, and that's not where that stuff is supposed to be. And so you get these huge pneumonias, they're not breathing very well already, they become septic and they die. That's a typical alcohol death.
And I can't tell you how close I've been. I had fairly major emergency surgery on my right leg without anesthesia.
Oof.
Because I was so drunk. They said, we can't anesthetize you. And I said, go ahead. And I didn't look down. And when I finally did look down, the bone and stuff was stuffed back in the leg. And the leg was stitched up. And then
you had a compound fracture of some kind. What'd you do?
I crashed something or fell down. I've been busy.
Yeah.
I am covered in scars. I have scars I can talk about.
I'm glad you're alive.
Me too.
That's nice.
Which I haven't always been that glad. People would say to me before when I was all drunk and using, they'd go, you know, life's too short. And I'd say, are you kidding? It goes on forever, man. Make it stop. But now I like it.
Oh, good. Kayla,
thank you.
What's up?
Hi. I was just telling the lady, I don't really know what's going on with oral stimulation. Like, I've had quite a few skilled men try to please me in bed and with oral stimulation, and it just doesn't really work. Like, I can get off better by myself, like humping a blanket.
Have you ever had intercourse?
Of course, yes.
Do me a favor, turn down your radio, please. You're going to get all confused and so
weird. Screeners, get them to shut the radio off, please. during intercourse, do you have orgasm?
I don't think so. Like,
you'd know.
I suspect you're going to figure that out. I think that's what's going to happen here. You're going to start having orgasms with intercourse. And the more prone to orgasm with intercourse you are, the less satisfying oral sex tends to be. That's sort of the general relationship there. Yeah, because those women that have multiple orgasms do not like oral sex at all. And the women that can have any orgasm with intercourse, tend to like oral sex only.
That explains a lot. No, it really does. Yeah, seriously. It's funny because being the alcoholic and addict that I am, when you say something amazing to a caller, I just find your talent and skill to be amazing. When you say stuff about actively using drugs or alcohol, I usually understand the workman's, the layman's attitude towards it.
Right.
But that explains a lot about
women.
Yeah,
what
you
experience.
Yeah,
like, what the hell is this? But you'll see the pattern.
I looked at a girl. I'll give her a name, my wife. And I said, how can you not like this? I'm really good at this. And she goes, it just doesn't really do anything for me. Killed me. Killed me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like the other thing, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
There you go.
Mitch. I feel better. Thanks, Doc.
Mitch.
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
Question for Danny.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what happened with the show, I guess you call it like a test show that you were doing over on the satellite channel with Stern?
Oh, no, it wasn't a test show. It was because people kept calling
it
that, calling it an audition.
Yeah.
It was a paid week in New York.
Right.
You know, people asked me to call up. I'm not working. Absolutely, I'll do it. It did. I wonder if I should say it. I guess it's fine. I always say everything on the radio anyway. It did turn into a job offer, but I did not feel stable enough to commute. Not in my sobriety.
Well, they want you to go to New York regularly? Ooh.
You know what? Stern isn't kidding with running the station. He really wants to meet with you, which sounded, God bless the guy, but it sounded like hell.
Uh-huh.
A meeting with Howard Stern and executives.
Oh, you didn't meet with
him
at all.
I'd rather kill myself. And it was funny because I didn't feel comfortable enough, not in my sobriety, in my integrity. I didn't think I could go long enough without sex to successfully navigate my marriage.
Oh.
She would stay here with the kids, and I'd come home on the weekends.
Oh,
and then,
no.
And I just said,
no, that's bad.
I was honest for, like, the first time. I looked at it, I said, I won't make this.
Not only that, it's huge for your sobriety. You need a much simpler life early in the sobriety game. Yeah.
Ooh-wee.
John, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You know, Danny Bonaduce.
Scared, actually.
You're scared. What are you scared about?
Well, I was having sex with my spouse, and it's been a while, you know, since we've had kids and all that good stuff. But, well, I guess during completion, I pulled out, you know.
Completion.
And well, anyways, yellow chunks came out, man, and it was like jello. Yellow.
From you?
I mean, yeah.
Dude, check for STDs right now.
No, not necessarily.
No?
He means tapioca pudding. Put that in
this is more like lemon jello. I mean, seriously, it was like about a quarter inch long, and it would look straight up like jello.
I want to refer to it as one more food group, and then I'll be happy.
But it was in amongst a fluid, yes?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's the tapioca pudding syndrome.
What
and
is it?
It's just, he hasn't had sex in a while, and stuff kind of builds up and gels and things. It's usually not a big deal. I mean, it wouldn't hurt to see a doctor, make sure it's not an infection or prostate inflammation, something like that.
You know, it wouldn't hurt to have sex with your wife more often.
That, clear the pipes.
Oh, God.
No, I'm dead serious. That is a rule I have set in my marriage.
Over, right?
I'm sorry?
Was that, John?
Once you get married, it's over? Yeah.
See, it started to go that way in my marriage, and I flat out wouldn't allow it.
Yeah.
My wife, we have this big argument. You know that several years ago I was unfaithful, got caught at it, or rather confessed like a freaking idiot. And my wife wants me to be faithful. And I told her,
how dare she?
Well,
imagine
it seemed
that
to me like she would say, no, I'm never going to cook for you again, but you can't eat out.
Right.
You know, that's crazy. Somebody's going to feed me, and today.
Right.
So I said, okay, I will be faithful, but you have to have sex with me at least every day.
Right.
And she at first gave me all we negotiated. Like, she said, how about three times a week?
Yeah.
And now it's pretty much when the mood strikes me. It's just not all romantic and cool the way I would necessarily like it, but that would be less frequent. Now we just get to it as fast as possible and hope the kids don't come running in.
Right.
Quick, cover yourself with a blanket.
Right.
But that's the deal I have, dude. If you're a married guy and your wife wants you to stay and not have tapioca pudding syndrome, you should lay down not the law because she's your equal partner, but let her know what it means to you.
And it's hard. Women do not appreciate what men, how men experience that.
I swear to God, my head will explode. And my wife will also not let pornography in the house.
Oh, that's
like, dude, make a decision. Pull the dress up or let me get some porn or let me go out.
Yeah. We always refer to Danny as Mr. Romance. Mr. Romance.
Do you know what we just got with this no porno in the house rule? A huge home theater. I have a screen. These people are bigger than life.
Oh, my goodness.
No porno. I'm watching Rent the Musical when I could be watching porn on a huge screen. I feel better.
It's hard with the kids. The kids in the house.
It is. The idea of my kids coming into it, that would kill me. I wouldn't
know what
to do.
How are your kids doing, by the way?
My kids are wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. My kids are... Although my daughter had a fight with Gretchen, their mother, my wife, this morning about getting ready. And she said, Isabella, you do this right now. And Isabella, out of nowhere, my 11-year-old looked at my wife and said, oh, no, you didn't. Just like that. We like... What was that? Where did that come from, and how did you possibly say it?
Oh,
pretty impressive.
Adolescence is coming.
Yeah,
man.
Here we go.
Coming. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. That is none other than Danny Bonaducci of Breaking Bonaducci 2 coming on in October. We'll see more of him, I guess, on radio and other things.
Yep.
Details Magazine coming up and some other television projects. But for right now, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny Bonaducci in the studio with us tonight. Breaking Bonaducci coming back around again in October. And thanks for joining us. We're just talking about this Brent Shapiro Foundation, which is Robert Shapiro, the attorney, defense attorney for O.J. Simpson's son, who died of basic heroin addiction, but he relapsed on alcohol, overdosed, aspirated, and died. And they've got a big campaign coming out, and it's a pleasure to be a part of it. I love to see him. He's such a good... motivator, you know, he's good at organizing people.
I've only spoken to him once at length.
He's a really good guy.
We spoke about boxing, and he's a huge fan.
Oh, no kidding.
It was a really good conversation.
His wife's very nice, and they're just going to organize them, sort of all the resources out there for addiction, which would be nice someday.
I'll tell you something, my opinion, which may or may not be a surprise to you. I'm sure you'll have your own opinion on it. But I've found, and the only thing I've never tried is shooting heroin. I've never tried that. But short of that, I've done everything and to excess.
Have you done heroin other means?
Yes. Yeah. Smoked it.
Yeah.
Just once. It didn't do anything. I didn't like it. But I've tried it, and had I liked it, I'd have done it a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done everything. To me, it seems like alcohol's the worst of all the offenders.
In terms of?
Well, the people I know that take heroin,
yeah,
and that something happens to them, I didn't get that experience, kind of sit there. Do no harm to no
oh,
one.
Yeah. Alcohol is, in terms of, well, first of all, health consequences, alcohol and cigarettes are the worst.
Right.
In terms of most common, alcohol is the most common. In terms of hurting other people get in car accidents,
yep,
they get in fights, they do stupid things, that's alcohol. Pot, people don't do any of this.
Nobody robs the pizza guy.
No, that's right. That's right. So, but heroin makes people wacky when they're coming off, desperate.
Yeah,
and that's when they do the weird stuff.
But that is so rare, comparatively speaking, to drunk driving accidents.
Yep, that's right.
From the day my daughter was born, that's what I worried about most, because I know the number one killer of teens is drunk driving accidents. But it seems like with any drug, I would do a lot of different things depending on what drug it was. But with alcohol, I grab the keys.
Yeah.
With alcohol, I can dance. With alcohol, I'm 6'4" and really tough.
Yeah.
You know, just bad. You just get active in the wrong direction.
You ride a skateboard in the middle of the traffic.
Stuff like that.
Stuff like
that. Seems like alcohol is the worst one.
Yeah. It's a case can be made. Brad, what's happening?
Well, hey, Dr. Drew, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I got a question. My girlfriend is really into it when we finish having sex. You know, when I orgasm, to have it on her body somewhere, wants to see it.
And she likes that.
Well, I enjoy it too, but she's really into it. I mean, really, really into it. And the amount is what gets her into it. So I'm trying, we have to usually save up for like a week for there to be a lot, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to think, is there a way that, you know, because the more frequently you have it, obviously the less that comes out.
That's true.
Is there a way that I can change my diet around, or is there...
No, you're sort of genetically loaded on that one. You can save up a little bit, but even that has sort of predetermined biology to it.
What a rough conundrum this guy is in. You know, can I just tell you, is it your wife, you said?
It's actually my girlfriend. I'm not married.
Okay, can I just tell you, your girlfriend rocks, okay? Just when the girl says the words, on me, you just gotta love her, okay? That must make you so hot and so stimulated that the idea of waiting 6 more days so you can satisfy her visually must be hell.
And he can't masturbate. He can't do anything at
right,
that time.
Yeah, no, he can't.
Oh. Okay, well,
wow.
That's my only question. That's all I wanted to
know. All right, Brad. Good times.
Yeah, no. If your question was, do you live in hell? The answer is yes.
Ray, what's happening?
Hi.
Hey.
I'm about to be 25 in like 2 weeks, and I'm still a virgin, and I've never kissed anybody, and there's like this guy I guess I've been seeing, and it's just like all my other relationships were like, I get so close, and I don't understand what happens or what I do to mess it up, but I feel like I'm messing something up, and I don't even want him to know that I am one, but...
When you say one, do you mean virgin?
Yeah.
Are you a member of a church?
No, I'm not, actually.
Because I was greatly surprised by this, and I don't know if it addresses your particular problem at all, but I was with my wife's church, or my church, where we go, and as a joke, I said, I'm the only one I know in this whole church that actually waited till they were married to have sex with their wife, which I did. Of course, we were married the same day we met, but it was just a joke. And, like, five couples said, oh, no, we waited. No, we waited. And these were grown people. So people do, in fact, wait. You shouldn't feel like any kind of freak.
Yeah, but I don't know anybody else, you know? I mean,
I also know the people that who do wait, even not even just wait for that particular coupling, but save their virginity for one another, feel like they have sort of done something special, like they've created something unique. And you're really talking about what it is, how you sabotage the intimacy when it's developing.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know, right? I just keep talking to this guy and then make sure you're sort of, you know, you're clear. I would talk to him about it. I really would.
Well, because I don't even know that we're... See, that's the thing, is I never know if I'm even in a relationship like that, because, I mean, we don't even kiss or anything. It's not... It's just so
maybe
weird.
Maybe you choose the wrong kind of guys. Yeah.
Maybe you should stop choosing, I don't know, gay guys.
Right.
Okay? Because I've got a rule about kissing when I was single. Like, I'm scared. I'm really scared. Once we're kissing, I'm going for home base if I can.
Yeah.
But the initial move, the idea of being rejected, is a nightmare.
Right.
All you have to do with your face, with your hand, with any kind of gesture at all, let him know it's okay. And any real guy will kiss you right then and there.
Are you dating this guy?
Well, he's like my best friend.
Uh-oh.
There's trouble.
Yeah.
But he's not dating anybody, and he tells me about everything that goes on in his life, and he's always saying you should
Does he talk
better.
About other girls?
He has, but he doesn't really have that many other girls in his life.
Okay, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign.
You're not dating this guy.
Yeah.
You're his best friend.
But he told me, he was telling me because I should know, so like...
All right, well, here's the deal. Then you sit him down. You get used to having the talk. You have to sit him down and go, you know what? I'm starting to develop feelings for you. What's going on here? What's going on?
I did that, and now we're kind of not talking anymore.
All right, well,
that
give you your answer, and it's time to get another one. That's that. I mean, you can accept things as they are. Don't pretend they're different.
Right. Eric, don't pretend that guys and girls can really be best friends, because that's just
not at that age. No. Not at that age. And by the way, there's a reason that they're best friends. I mean, in other words... Right. The reason a male and a female in their 20s become friends, the reason there's even a contact in the first place is because somebody was attracted.
Right.
And the other person didn't respond, and so the person that was attracted sort of settles for friend. And they can be very good friends. They can be wonderful friends, but originally there was an attraction. And if the guy was the one that was attracted, he's just waiting for that moment. Right. He is just waiting. And so when you break up with your boyfriend and one thing leads to another, are you high?
Yeah.
Oh, he's been planning that for 4 years. So,
are you high?
Eric, what's happening?
Hello?
Eric, it's fun to be able to say no, by the way, on a question.
On
that
the
would
air.
Not be rhetorical.
What's your question? Eric?
Yeah?
What's your question, buddy?
Well, I just wanted to say hi to Danny.
Hey, man.
And hey, how's it going?
It's good, man. I'm having a great time. I'm sitting here doing Love Lines. It's my favorite gig.
Yeah, it's awesome. I want to say that you're pretty cool, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember me, but I did a commercial with your daughter, Isabella.
Yeah, for?
What's it called, McDonald's.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, like 2 or 3 years ago.
Dude, my kid has probably paid for her college tuition from that day.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Good for you.
She's done 2 commercials in her life, and I would say she's got most of her college paid.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, it's nice to talk to you. Still acting?
I did Aquila and the Bee, if you know that movie.
I do. I just saw it at Starbucks. They're selling it.
Yeah, all the CDs and all that stuff, man.
Yeah, that's what they're selling at Starbucks.
Yeah, I'm in that. I'm one of the Spelling Bee people.
Well, I don't actually know what it is. I just saw it at Starbucks. But it's great to talk to you, man, and continued success.
And this now is Justin. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Dr. Drew. How you doing?
We're good. What's your question?
My question is, every time when I'm ready to orgasm with my girlfriend, my stomach always cramps up real bad, almost to the point where sometimes I have to stop.
Lance.
Yeah, sorry about that. But either way, so every time I cramp up, Dr. Drew, and I just don't...
How about when you masturbate? Does that happen then?
No.
Oh, that's weird.
Not like this. Not like this. This is, like, bad, like, to the point where, like I said, sometimes I have to stop.
How about if she's on top?
I was going to question about position.
Actually, yeah, I guess, yeah, when she's on top, it takes, you know, it's a little easier. Yeah, I guess.
It's your abdominal muscles that are spasming. And I mean, you can get a lot of pulling in the bladder and the prostate and things. It can be pretty uncomfortable, and the testes can kind of pull up and be a cremasteric response. But for the most part, that's likely to be just an abdominal cramp. And so just don't use your abdominal muscles so much.
And also, there are lots of people that refer to it as the missionary position.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are those of us who refer to it as the I'm going to do 600 push-ups position.
Right.
You know, you're holding all your body weight on your arms.
Why do I get a cramp?
Yeah.
Well, what could that be?
Bad call.
Nick.
Notice your poodle never gets a cramp. Think that way.
I was thinking about the president's physical fitness exercise thing. I wonder if he had this in mind. Nick.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, long-time caller.
We know.
We know what you mean.
But check it out. I'm working at this job for about a month now, and there's this girl who I thought was about, like, in her mid to late 20s, and we made out for the other night, came over and, like, hung out with some people, and they left, and, like, we made out, and then the next day I'm, like, all into it and stuff, and it's cool, and then I'm talking to my coworkers about it the next day, and they're like, yeah, like, she's, like, 35 or, like, 34, and all of a sudden, I kind of immediately got weirded out, and, like...
Where's the slide whistle?
Yeah. I kind of started, like, losing interest, and I don't know, because I was really attracted to her, and, you know, you can how you tell when you're really, like, attracted to somebody, like, when you're a guy.
But, Nick, it's kind of a protective response, right? You kind of know... Oh, this isn't going to work. This is going to be weird. And it kind of is a turn off that you guys are in such different places in your life. Even though as people and physically and whatnot, you're attracted to her, it's a realistic thing to when you find out something about them that's kind of a deal breaker for you, then it's appropriate. I mean, it kind of turns it down a bit.
And there's a lot of different, like, factors. And also from what my history is, I just got out of a relationship with a younger person, like a 17-year-old girl, and we had a really frustrating, like, really awkward relationship, and now we're at the point, like, just over the weekend, we decided we're both going to move on, and then I think this is kind of too soon, and for me, all of a sudden, be going, like, I don't know, like, I haven't had sex in probably a couple months, and...
You hear what he's struggling with, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
He's struggling with the fact that he wants to have sex with this girl, but his internal instincts are, no, this is going to be weird and problem, and yeah.
Okay,
you know what
too.
You should do? Can I give you my serious advice? You should make this decision after you sleep with her. You should. Here's the answer. Always. I'm dead serious.
I'd like that.
Here's the answer. The answer is boy world.
But what he's trying to figure out is whether he'd sleep with her at all, though, because he knows it's going to be weird and he's going to...
Don't care. Don't care if it's going to be weird. No. Don't care if she's going to come to your house and kill your pets. Have sex with her immediately.
I'm not weirded. I don't feel about, like, any awkwardness at all with, like, afterwards or anything like that. I'm not really thinking about that.
I just think you have a soul and a conscience, and you're struggling with it right
now. You need to get rid of those. Those will not serve you in boy world.
Anthony, what's happening, buddy?
Yeah, I was wondering when you would recommend a kid to listen to your show. What age?
Ideally more like 17, 18, but some 15-year-olds can be helped. If you could listen with a younger middle adolescent, that's a good thing. That's when this show works its best. If you can, you know, use it as a springboard to discuss thing with your kids, I think you're on to something there. Garrett, what's your question? Carry on with Danny Bonaducci. What's happening?
I think we lost Garrett, Dr. Drew.
I tend to agree with you. Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Up until 3 months ago, I never really had a strong scent down there, and my boyfriend or any other boyfriend never complained or had any comments about it or anything going down on me, but then 3 months ago, I went on an antibiotic for a sinus infection, and now the smell is different. It's 3 months later, and my boyfriend doesn't complain or anything when he goes down on me, but he definitely says it smells different, and I don't know if your chemistry can change when you get older or...
Yeah, and it certainly can change with antibiotics, but I'll tell you what, when did you start having sex with your boyfriend? How long ago?
5 months ago, 6 months ago.
He may have brought something with him, let's say. A bacteria or a trichomonas. Yeah, you can get bacterial vaginosis or bacterial infections of the vagina are very common. They're a kind of an STD, but they're not really an STD. They don't have any real consequences unless you're pregnant, then they can be a problem. But it's something that's easily treatable basically with a cream. And a lot of antibiotics don't cover the kinds of organisms that cause the stinky bacterial infections in the vagina. So it may not be the antibiotic. It may be the fact that it wasn't the right antibiotic that didn't clear up even.
Well, you know, I never heard her say that it was nasty. I just heard different.
Different.
Is it nasty?
No, not at all. It just is different.
Well, different, you know, yeast can cause a funny different smell. And
I just wanted to talk about it some more, Doc.
And so it's like it's all, the point, I think what you ought to do is go get an examination, get culture and see what's going on. They'll probably give you a cream and that'll be that, okay?
Okay.
All right. Wait, whoa. You're not satisfied with that? Huh? Okay.
That's not good? That's not?
Well, you're like, okay.
We really go see a doctor?
It's called bacterial vaginosis. It's either caused by sometimes called Gardnerella, Trichomonas. These are the things that overgrow in the vagina.
Yeah.
Haemophilus is the organism.
But when you say the germs that cause the odor, that's literally Listerine's slogan. They kill the germs that cause bad breath. So obviously germs can make an odor.
Oh,
so that's a gimme.
Most odors on your body are from germs, whether it's the body odor, mouth, whatever. It's pretty much all vagina. Shayna.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
I have a question. When my boyfriend and I, when we have sex doggy style, afterwards I tend to quave a lot, and I was wondering if that's normal.
Danny?
As a matter of fact, I have found that to be the least problem in that style. Missionary position, I have noticed, to cause that problem. And here's the drag. No matter how close you are or whether you're perfect strangers, you all need to pretend it didn't happen. Which is really weird.
Or laugh your ass off.
Or that's
one
when you're close.
One or the other.
You're doing it with a relative stranger, and that starts to happen. And unless you just laugh because you can't help it. But I can see why that's, a gnarly moment for you.
Yeah, that's tough.
This is the second time she has now said a term. And the last, remember that lady that called herself a booty call?
Oh, yeah?
These are two women that I have heard use terms I've never heard a girl use
And
before.
You like these women, right?
I do indeed.
Appreciate that. Shayna, obviously that is just air being forced in, and whatever position sort of does that between you and your partner, that's the one that does it. And it's usually different for different people, and sometimes the air comes flying back out again during the act, and sometimes it comes back after when you're relaxing. But
it's like sometimes it hurts,
You get a little cramp with it?
Yeah, it hurts up in, towards my abdomen.
Yeah. Well, that's a visceral pain. That may or may not be related to the air. It may also be some other irritation from the sexual act. But the air coming out is a normal thing, okay?
I also had one other question.
Yes?
About the birth control shot, the Depo...
Yep.
Depo?
Depo Provera, yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering if when you take it, when you get the shot, I heard that you don't get your period for, 3 months.
Usually you bleed almost continuously for 3 months, and then you lose your period after that.
Really?
That's kind of how it works. That's the typical response, but it can be all over the place. You can immediately lose your period. You can keep bleeding. It can be all over the place.
Okay, because I've been considering going onto that birth control.
The only thing I would tell you, and doctors do not spend a lot of time warning women about this, and it's only certain women that seem to respond this way, but it can cause vaginal dryness and irritation, and it can cause mood problems. And it can cause drop in your sex drive. It's an excellent contraceptive, but I'm saying just be aware of that. So if you, because you're on it lasts 3 months, if you notice you're not quite right,
you can lose your sex drive.
Sex drive, depression, and vaginal dryness, irritation.
I can bring on those same symptoms. Ask my wife. I don't want to do it.
Wedding cake brings it on, or what's the?
Yeah.
So, Machina, it's excellent contraceptive, and if it's good that you're taking proper precautions, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. This now is interesting. This is Ellen. What's happening there, Ellen?
Hi.
Hi. You're on Danny Bonaducci.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Basically, a couple months ago, this just started, but when I'm, like, really relaxed or if I'm going to the bathroom or sometimes during, like, oral, my anus kind of, like, pokes out, a little, turns itself inside out a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm trying to. Okay. Is that a hemorrhoid popping out you're talking about?
No, I don't think so.
Are you talking about a rectal prolapse?
Yeah. I looked it up on the internet, and that's kind of what I thought that it was, but
well,
I mean,
the basic of rectal prolapse or anal prolapse, the rectum falls out of the anus. You know those?
Yeah, but
you know,
it doesn't come out all the way.
No, I know. As you age, though, it will. Did you do something to predispose to this?
I don't think so.
You don't have anal sex?
Well, I do, but it started before that.
Yeah, well, I can't believe I'm giving anybody this advice, but you should probably stop that.
Yeah.
That's contrary to my nature in every way, shape. This is how much I love you. That I want to tell you the absolute truth, because I've never told a woman that before, but you should probably stop that.
But the fact that you're having this at 25 is what I would call not a good sign.
Okay.
And yes, I agree with Danny. The anal sex can cause this, and it definitely needs to be stopped. And what can happen is not only can the prolapse get worse, but as it gets worse, the blood supply to the rectum can get cut off during one of those inside-out episodes,
right.
And that's a surgical emergency.
Right. Is there anything I can do at this point to make it better besides...
You know, you really should see a colorectal surgeon because they may have to do something soon to suspend it in there to make sure it doesn't keep falling out badly and, it falls out someday when you can't get to a hospital and the blood supply is a problem.
Can you die from that?
Oh, yeah.
I read a story, but I thought, again, it was an urban legend about a woman that died from that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the way people imagining these things happen, it gets very sort of, not glamorized, but dramatized in a way that goes, ooh, I can't, how could that happen?
We think Ebola. But just spill out.
Right. But with a doctor, when you go, look, the rectum starts to fall down, the anus sort of relaxes and the inside kind of pulls down, the tissues get, as you get older, things start falling. I mean, gravity.
Right.
And if you've been working your anus over for all those years, things kind of don't work normally and the muscles are patchless and things can fall through. And then if it falls through and twists a little bit, now no blood to that area. That tissue, that's your rectum, that's your colon. Blood supply is cut off, and the only way you can fix that is by going into the abdomen and excising the whole area. Now, that's a big, big surgery.
Well, thanks. I'm glad I asked, because I would have never known otherwise.
Yeah, get a check. Now, hopefully this all just turns out to be a hemorrhoid anyway. Because I've personally never seen rectal prolapse in a 25-year-old.
And hopefully, but this is not the visual I take home tonight.
Hopefully not. Although, it might help you sort of cut down your sex drive a little bit and help your wife out. Possible. She could be thankful of Ellen. You know, Ellen's giving you the rectal prolapse image. You go home
send
and
send you a fruit basket.
You're calmer. But I it is what I'm concerned about with all the anal proclivities going on out there. I mean, I think people are going to hurt themselves with this. So,
Are you saying that kind of sex is bad? It's a bad idea?
Bad is not the right word. Unhealthy concerns me. I mean,
that kind of makes me feel better because my wife shut that door down about 5 years ago, and it kind of hurt my feelings. Like, why would you not do something you used to do?
Yeah.
But those were her reasons. It's not healthy. It's not good.
Yeah, she's smart.
She's not that fun.
1-800-LOVE-191. That's Danny Bonaducci. Breaking Bonaducci coming out again in October. Is it airing, the season one airing right now anywhere?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Probably somewhere,
I think it's on VH1 again.
Yeah, it tends to make the rounds, come around.
Yeah, it does.
All right, we'll be right back. Indeed, here we are back again at 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny Bonaducci with a big night. Rectal prolapse.
It's been a big night at Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, or let's see. It's kind of the rectal prolapse, cocaine addiction, cocaine abuse.
Can you just describe the prolapse like you described it to me? Because it's so perfect.
Well,
because a lot of people are going, well, what does that
look like? Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, you try, because I've tried to explain this before, and when Adam was up here, and he would go, people don't know what that is, but I think you got it right away. So I described this sort of. A toy that
is, no offense, but American Genius is a little strong.
Just saying. And it's a toy that most people have seen. It's one of these little toys that slips through your hands. You can't grab it.
It's a tube about 6 to 8 inches long tops.
It's a tube. It's plastic.
And it's filled with, like, water or jelly or something like that. And it slips through your fingers no matter how you try and grab it.
It invaginates, so to speak. It turns inside out.
Yeah.
It's an open tube, but it rolls, sort of. It rolls, and you grab it.
I think every parent... And maybe every kid that shouldn't be listening has got that now.
Yeah.
Because I completely get it now.
Yeah. And so that's what falls out of the rectum, falls out of the anus when you have a prolapse.
Yeah. That's a bummer. I mean, I don't, because we told her to stop having a particular kind of sex.
Uh-huh.
And this is not only your problem, lady. Imagine the poor guy that is there for that moment. You know, it's just like, oh,
in fact, dude. Just a couple of guys out of, you know, here, you know what, you make a good point. A few guys need to witness that, because that word will spread fast.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll reverse this trend. The engineer Corey was talking to me. He goes, do you think this is a generational thing, all these people having anal sex? I go, yes. I don't know. I just think that this generation is particularly interested in that. Maybe porn did this to them or something. But coming from a generation that was not even on the menu, it's like, what? Why? What's
I don't know.
Deal?
Maybe I'm going back a little further than your date. But what were they doing in Sodom? If it wasn't sodomy.
No, I understand it happens. But I'm just saying, it's something that right now is a big deal. So, Ashley.
Yes.
What's your question?
My question is, how normal is it, or how common is it for to squirt, like, when you're having sex?
Like, not common enough.
Is that a bad thing, though?
The only bad thing about it, Ashley, is that women feel ashamed of it and are worried that it's a bad thing. I dare say all men are impressed and pleased.
On porn and stuff and whatever, and it's like, my boyfriend's like, see how far you can shoot, and it's just kind of like, whatever. But
God love him. You should go for like a target or distance. Have some fun with this. I've experienced this exactly once in my life, and I will never forget that girl as long as I live. Nothing says I love you like that.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, I agree with Dr. Drew. At first, I was kind of ashamed of it, and I would hate it when it happened, and I'd get all embarrassed. But he's like, no, I love it, I love it, I love it. But
actually, hang on a second. When a guy says that to you, what do you think he means? He's trying to make you feel better? No, guys aren't like that. He may go, oh, it's okay, as opposed to, no, my God, okay. This is awesome.
In general, guys don't believe you climax anyway. They think it's all fake.
And guys like to produce something.
Yeah.
Evidence of their work, man. And by the way, if you really want to impress a guy, just go, oh, it's never happened before.
Yeah.
Only you can do that.
Because you really should lie to men. Like, whatever the answer is, if a guy asks you how many men you've slept with, say 2. They just like that better than knowing 17.
And they probably like it better than 0, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I have another question.
Yeah.
I've heard you talk about it before, but I don't remember, like, what your answer was. But how, like, sometimes, like, if I'm on top, I find, like, when it slips out, can I say that, I feel like I do pee. Like, and I've tried, like, and I've talked to some of my girlfriends, and I've tried, like, going pee before, or, like, even, like, if we're having sex, I feel like I have to go. I'm like, okay, hold on, and I'll go pee, and, like, you know, whatever. But it just always seems that it's happening, and it's just been really recent that I've been doing that.
So a little bit of pee.
Yeah.
As opposed to the ejaculation.
Right.
These are two totally separate.
Yeah.
I still, like, go all over the place, like, when I'm, you know, squirt all over them or whatever, but...
Whatever.
I'm thinking myself like peeing.
No, I understand. And the peeing, probably not much you can do about that. I mean, if you're having this, it's an irritation of the urethra, where you pee out of it, sitting right there getting kind of irritated, and it can cause a little bit of urine to be released. And
you know, Doc, I got to tell you.
It's not going to hurt anything.
Urethra, squirt. I think your attention is misdirected.
May you want to go back to the squirting conversation?
Oh, my God. I just want to tell her I love her.
Ashley? Danny has something to tell you.
Ashley? And I say this for all guys. I love you. Thank you. Okay.
Okay, good times. This is Garrett. Garrett, what's your question?
Yeah, I have one testicle that's the size of a Tic Tac. And my girlfriend kind of laughs at me, so I was like wondering what I should do about it.
With her?
Yeah, it's nothing. You only need one. I have two friends that have lost testicles, one testicle each, and they're fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you know why the testicle's small on that side?
No.
Okay, sometimes you can have a non-descended testicle, and that actually is a serious thing, because if the, you know, testes come down from basically where your kidneys are, sort of in that area, and descend down into the sac.
I didn't know it was that far.
Well, it's in that area, and it's not that far. And, but I always say in the back, and people kind of don't know what that means.
Right.
So it's up in the back by the kidney. And... if it has not come down and descended into the sac, it can become cancerous. So it actually is really important that a doctor take a look at this. And if it's just shrunken up, it'd be nice to know why that happened.
Right. And on top of that, if it embarrasses you, you can get a prosthetic.
You can get a prosthetic. That was going to be my next point. So,
get a fake one.
But in the meantime, just good times.
I had a, what was it called? Hydrocele. So I had surgery where they opened my scrotum, and they were taking out the testicle that had been injured. And they decided on the table that they could repair it. And I was out. I went in specifically to lose one of my testicles.
What, do you think you had cancer?
No, it was literally
huge.
Well,
the hydrocele, you had a huge hydrocele.
Gigantic.
Oh, had they drained it before? Or
they just drained it several times.
So this way, hey, let's step back and make sure that people understand what they're talking about here. So what he had is a giant cyst, a big fluid-filled ball in his testicle, probably the size of three times the size of a golf ball, something like that.
Baked potato, baseball, man.
Baked potato.
Yeah, and it was ripping the skin, or I would have never gone in. I was terrified, but it was ripping itself out.
What the urologist do is put a giant needle into it, into his testy, and drain about 60 cc's of fluid out of it, something like that.
You know, it's one of the only kind things my dad ever did for me. My dad went to the doctor the first time they drained it and held my hand because they were going to put a needle in it.
That's right.
A needle in your testicle. Dude. Yeah. Dig that.
And so he did that three times.
Yeah.
And then finally cut the whole thing out.
Yeah. But then they didn't. The doctor, and I'm out. I'm completely out on the table, and I've resigned myself to getting my testicle removed. And they decided they could fix it, and did, and put it back in.
Nice.
But the night before, the hospital psychologist brought me the prosthetic. I just wanted to smack her. She brought me the prosthetic testicle, the fake testicle, and said I should get to know it, and left it in the room with me so I could become one with it.
That is so damn funny.
Can you believe that? And she was dead serious. Just get to know it. Oh, love it. And it looked like Play-Doh. It was stupid looking. I don't remember. I've been in a lot.
All right, Stephanie, what's your question?
Hey, my girlfriend sometimes bleeds when we have sex.
That happens. That actually wasn't the call I was trying to punch up, but it happens very, very commonly. Just being sexual can stimulate bleeding, and if it's near her period, obviously it's easier. If she's on the birth control pill, you'll be more prone to stimulate bleeding.
Plus, just go with it. You're gigantic and live with yourself.
This is Stephanie. That's what Danny always says, no matter what the symptom is. Stephanie.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey there.
Is this for Danny? Danny, I met you like a month ago. You were at the Covenant House in California.
Yeah.
Remember, I was the one in line who said you looked like Chuck Norris.
I do remember you, and I get that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm 20 years younger than Chuck, and I get that all the time. Yeah, I gave a little speech, a little talk at the Covenant House.
Nice.
Which is a lovely, lovely place.
Where are they?
They're right on, is it Western or Vermont?
Mm-hmm. It was Western and...
Western.
And you said you work for the Claire Foundation, too, sometimes?
I'm going up to do work for the Lily Claire Foundation this weekend in Vegas.
So you do remember me.
Yeah, I do. I fed you.
Yeah, did.
I think you didn't want stuffing.
That's right.
How was that?
Nice.
How was that?
Well done.
That, Chuck. Do you have a question or anything, or do you just want to say hi?
I called to say thanks a lot.
Oh, you're very sweet. I'll be back at the Covenant House soon and giving a little talk and serving lunch again.
Oh, I don't live here anymore. I live with my mom.
Good for you. I hope it's working out.
It's really bad.
Oh. Well, that didn't go that well, did it?
Yeah.
We'll go back to Covenant House then. I mean, if it's bad, keep doing positive things. Don't accept just awful. Ruben.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're good.
So here's the deal. My girlfriend recently got off birth control, and neither one of us really like condoms, but I understand the fact that we have to use them. I don't want a baby. She doesn't want a baby. That's just the way it is. She doesn't want to have sex with a condom because of the smell of the condom.
Have you tried different brands? They all give unacceptable smell?
We've only come across one condom that we actually did like.
Yeah.
But it just really didn't do much for us. And
what does that mean?
We were unable to find it ever again.
Oh. I don't know if that has anything to do with it doing something for you, but...
Yeah.
How about the polyurethane or the animal so-called skin condoms?
Yeah, because those are the oldest kind of condoms in the world. The original condoms were made from goat intestine, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I've never tried them at all.
Right,
so are they comparable in, you know, the ability to protect and, you know, prevent pregnancy?
Polyurethane, probably the same as latex, though not as well studied. Animal skin, very effective for pregnancy, not so good for the viral STDs, but good for pregnancy. Heath.
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
My question is, I broke up with my girlfriend a little bit ago and was wondering if I should, I've only been with two other people, her and one other, and wondering if I should try sleeping around a little bit more, being more educated, growing up, getting more mature.
I don't really understand the question, but guys don't get to make that decision.
Yeah, that's not up to you, man.
Okay.
Every guy thinks, I'm going to break up with this girl, I'm going to go out. No, guys don't make that choice.
Chicks make that decision. Yeah. And they make that decision for the rest of your life. Okay, that's the bargain that you have made. Sex, I'm assuming, for you, and I found that I'm not like all other men, and I always thought I was.
How's that?
I just thought I was like everybody else, just a little unrestricted. Mm-hmm. That all guys were like me deep inside. And it turns out they're not.
Well, what does that mean? What do you mean? What about, as far as what?
Well, that every guy, because I can ride a motorcycle 165 miles an hour, there are guys that won't, that don't want to, that have no interest in it.
Right.
Like, I thought all guys wanted to ride their motorcycle 165.
How does that apply to sex, though?
It applies to sex because I was going to say it this way, that if he's like me and wants sex as badly as I do, he will go out and get it. Now, it turns out there are some guys that really can contain themselves.
Some guys are not that into it. Then they're not as many guys. Certainly, guys in their 20s that are. But there's some guys that are just not that driven.
But if it's a moral issue with with this guy, and that's why he's only been with a few women, because he sounds like a grown up. You know, there's nothing wrong with not sleeping around. You know, you never hear the word slut about a guy, but it is in fact possible.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Heath?
Right. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm not sure we gave him an answer there. Yeah. So we're saying...
I told him he could be a big slut if he tried hard
enough. I think we're saying is probably he's not going to be sleeping around much, and that's good.
Right.
All things being considered. So, all right, Todd. Oh, wait, Todd, we got to take a break. Ask your question real quick.
Okay, well, I got home from work, my lady was sleeping. I woke her up, and I was giving her oral, and, like, a lot came out, which I thought, you know, was pee. She says it wasn't, but when I smelled the blanket, it smelled like pee, and a lot came out, but I've been finding myself trying to make that happen again recently. I don't know why.
You need to go out with a couple calls ago. Remember the girl that couldn't stop herself?
No, he's got someone that does, and it's just he's wondering why he's so into it. But we'll talk more about it. We'll take a little break. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191, and we will be right back. And we are back on Loveline with Danny Bonaducci. I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Todd, who's finishing his question about the girlfriend who squirted on him, and now he wants to try to do it again. He wasn't sure he liked it the first time, but he's decided he wants it back. Is that about right, Todd?
Yeah, that's about right.
Now, is she interested in it? Is she interested in the return of said event?
Oh, I don't know, because, like, I woke her up, and it just kind of, like, happened when I was giving her oral. I mean, it was so much that I had to put a towel down. Usually there's, like, a little, yeah. I guess love juice on the bed, but it was kind of weird, and now I've been finding myself trying to wait till she goes to sleep to wake her up. I don't know if it was because she was sleeping, if it was actually pee. I mean, it kind of smelled like it, but...
Probably wasn't. All things being equal, probably wasn't. But what was it you did different? Did you do anything different?
Well, no, I mean, I just, you know...
Other than waking her up from sleep. I mean, it may not be the sleep thing. I mean, I wouldn't be putting too much emphasis on that.
Well, I was giving her oral, and then I put the finger inside a little bit, and
I probably has more to do with that. You probably hit something with that.
And yeah, what about the possibility that she's a little bit timid about letting loose, and that while she was asleep and coming to, so
more
to speak,
relaxed, yeah.
She was more relaxed and let go, literally.
That could be.
Yeah, I mean, I know she always has, you know, orgasms because I could feel her contracting on me, but this one was just like a lot came out, and I've been trying to, like, make it happen again.
have you been telling her that you've been trying this? Is she helping you?
No, I haven't mentioned that.
All right, why don't you let her know? Maybe she can tell you what happened and try to... Maybe she's interested in working on it, too. It's so funny, men and women don't talk about this kind of thing.
I literally, like, and I've been married so long now, it's hard to remember, but I would always, at least after the age of, say, 18, 19 years old, I would look at a girl and or a woman, and I would say, you know, this doesn't need to be awkward or weird. You just need to tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it.
Men.
And then they would, for 99% of the time.
Men.
Girls who would never, you know, you're young, and you met her at a nightclub, and don't really know what to say to her. But you look right in her eyes, and say, just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. And they will.
Men appreciate that, absolutely. Michelle.
Yes?
What's your question?
I was wondering if it's possible, like, for your hymen to grow back.
No. Why? What do you got?
Wishful thinking.
What's going on?
Well, like, it's happened maybe like 2 or 3 times.
What?
Where, like, my boy, like, will be, like, doing it, and, like, it doesn't bleed a lot, but then, like, later, like, I notice, like, just a little bit, like, it's bleeding just a little.
Yeah, as we discussed earlier, that just having intercourse can stimulate bleeding, particularly if we're on the pill. So,
yeah, if there were any way to make hymens grow back, everybody do it.
Yeah, a lot of cultural sort of emphasis on that kind of thing in certain cultures. Sean.
Yeah.
Here you go. What's your question?
It's kind of embarrassing, but I have a problem when I have intercourse with my girlfriend, the condom keeps slipping off.
How long do you guys have sex for?
It depends, 15 minutes to half an hour sometimes.
So a long time. And then are you suggesting that they're too big for you, or is it...
Well, no, it's when they go on, they fit fine and they're tight.
You're going at it too long. You got to pay attention. You got to check regularly.
And are you rolling it all the way absolutely down as far as it can possibly go?
And leaving some room at the tip.
I'm leaving some room at the tip, right.
You got to keep, listen, when you pull out, you got to hold on to that damn thing, and you got to keep checking it regularly, because if it slips off, it ain't going to work.
Okay.
I will tell you, have you ever had to, you and your girlfriend simultaneously look for it?
After you've lost it?
Yeah, that did happen once.
That's an embarrassing, awkward moment.
That's good times.
That was pretty bad.
Happens all the time.
All the time.
It's a very common thing, so don't be... Yeah, but do get it out, because it is a risk factor for toxic shock.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but just check, you know, and then try different brands of condoms, see if you can find some, and leave room at the tip there. Hey, Ryan.
Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Been dating this girl for about 4 to 5 months and found out she's a stripper. She's been hiding it.
Nice.
So I don't like about it, to be honest with you.
The hiding. Yeah.
No hiding.
I don't like the hiding. I mean, this is, and I say this from personal experience of my own, not about a woman, but about me. And I know this to be true from, and I'm sorry to say, about my own behavior. But the fact is, if she'll lie to you about that, she will, in fact, lie to you.
About
that's all you need to know.
And not only that, there must be something about this habit that's problematic, not just the stripping.
Right. But the thing is, should I be worried about any diseases from her going out at night, doing things behind my back that I don't know about, like the stripping?
Yes.
Not the stripping, but
not
yes,
the stripping.
They're going out and lying to
but
you, of course.
If a girl is lying to you, because I say strippers, even prostitutes that have it together and are putting away money for their future, it's the world's oldest profession for a reason. I don't hold anything against anyone, but I am telling you this. She didn't strip and be wrong. She makes a living. She strips and lied to you about it. Now she's taken off her clothes in front of men and lying to her boyfriend.
Right.
That's trouble right there.
Right. So, yes, she should be wearing a condom fastidiously. She should be checked for STDs. All that. Yes, of course.
Dude, you should wear a wetsuit. She's a stripper that lies.
Harold.
Right.
Hey there.
Hello?
What's happening?
Hi, I was wondering about penile enlargement surgeries.
You're wondering about it?
I wonder, like, how safe it is.
It's a surgery. You're under anesthesia for a couple hours. It's very safe, but it's the risk of any surgery.
Is there going to be any defects after? Because I was reading on the internet that there's a small percentage of defects after the surgery.
Oh, I'm sure. Look, any surgery,
right.
Can happen.
But I'll tell you what's the most dangerous part of almost any surgery, and it's the anesthesia.
Yeah, and you have to go through that. I actually scrubbed in on one of these surgeries, and what they do is they dig in above the pubic bone and tear off the tendon, the ligament that holds the suspensory ligament for the penis. Then they have these guys wear a weight off the penis for a couple weeks afterwards, sort of pulls it out about an inch. Then they unglove the penis. They take the skin all the way off it, and they sew in cadaver tissue. Basically, it looks like a big Pop-Tart they sew in around the penis. Gives them another inch or so of girth, pull the skin back up, sew it back on, and there you go. That's the procedure.
Okay, man, here's what I got. They're going to skin your wiener and put a dead guy in it.
Yeah. Dead guys.
You
tissue.
Better be really, really, really small. By the way, most guys that feel they need this surgery don't.
That's correct.
How small are you?
4, but, you know, the reason why I feel so uncomfortable is because recently I was with a girl and she laughed at me because how small it was.
Mm.
Okay, first of all, hate her. I am not overly large myself, but I've never been laughed at.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was
nasty
really
chicks.
Uncomfortable. You know, like, totally. So then that penile surgery just came in my mind. And then, like, someone was telling me about the pills, and I don't know if those work.
No.
The pills, the pump, all that stuff, it's bogus.
Pump a little bit, but a little bit. For the most part, that's bogus, too. But what were you really 4 inches?
Yeah.
Erect?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, well, that's sort of, it's a little under the normal range, but not horrible, by the way.
Yeah. And just so you know, I mean, it's, when you say it's surgery, you know, I just had surgery on this, on my left arm, where I have a steel plate full of screws in there. And it took somebody about an hour and a half, and it took me 6 weeks to get better. Just because it's your privates does not make it any more incredible. If it'll, here's the way I feel about plastic surgery. If it makes you feel better, go get it.
Yeah.
All right? That's the way I'm going to feel about this guy's penile implant.
Right, right.
If it makes you feel better, go get it.
Yeah, this guy that did the surgeries I scrubbed in with claims his patients all think it's the greatest thing. They're all
really?
Happy. And I, you know, who might argue with that if that's true? I don't know. Here's my concern, though, is that every guy I've ever talked to that's worried about the size of his penis is actually worried about his esteem.
Right.
He's not doing well in his career, or he's, you know, some girl laughed at him or whatever. It's not really about the penis. The penis just becomes a symbol for him.
Right.
And
okay.
He sort of
plus,
can't
if,
let you, go
if I was going to go for enlargement, I would want girth.
Well, they have that. That's the Pop-Tart they sew.
They
skin it and sew a Pop-Tart. The Pop-Tart, it looks like literally a Pop-Tart that they sew around.
Okay.
Gives you a good inch.
Oh, wow.
Natalie.
That's
hi,
thing.
Dr.
Drew.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Here
hi,
we go.
Jenny.
Hi.
I have a question. My boyfriend, well, we didn't have intercourse, but my boyfriend came and outside of me, so I don't know, would that lead to pregnancy?
How?
No?
How could it?
Oh, okay. I was...
Like the sperm would penetrate your skin?
No.
That's a tough guy.
Yeah, it's tough sperm.
I mean, bodywogs.
What do you mean he came outside? He came near your panties or something?
Yeah, like outside my... like vagina area, so I don't know.
Out in that area. But you were clothed.
Yeah, well, I have my panties on, so I don't know if that...
okay,
look,
no.
Yeah, if you ever you're concerned, though, morning after pill, you know, plan B, you go, you take...
Are you 486? Is that
no, that's an abortion pill. This is something that prevents ovulation just the way the birth control pill taken normally. It's just not as effective at preventing ovulation. It's about 70% effective. So if you want to reduce your pregnancy risk, you can always get that. You can get that without out of prescription in many, many states.
I would have to say, though, a guy climaxing outside of you over your clothes, pretty good chance she's
unlikely,
not pregnant.
Unlikely. We're going to have to take a break and be right back. Well, that about does it for another episode of Loveline. Danny Bonaducci, thank you as always for joining us.
Thank you. You know, every other radio show has been my job, and I'm usually happy when it's done for the day. I hate it when the show comes to an end.
You're welcome back anytime. You can just call us, and you're in.
Okay,
just let
thanks.
Me know. And that is Breaking Bonaducci coming out in October. Look for him in Details Magazine, and I know we'll be seeing more of Danny in lots of different places.
Thanks.
We'll find out where soon enough. And look for Danny here again. So until, let's see, I've got Jeff Probst coming up next week and Hoobastank and a bunch of rock bands that have not been specifically scheduled to specific days, so I can't tell you what yet. But
Jeff's good.
Jeff is awesome.
Yeah.
Jeff's an old friend of the show. So until next time, this is Dr. Drew saying goodnight and stay well.